The Medrash says, Rashi actually quotes it, that the Mekalel, Pasuk says, Vayetze, what turned off the Mekalel? Where did he go from? Why Vayetze? Why? What triggered the Mekalel's such blasphemous and angry, seemingly, behavior? What prompted the Mekalel to behave the way he did? So, Rashi quotes the Medrash. There's a few days in the Medrash. But one of those, he was turned off by the Lechem Aponim. He did not like the idea of Lechem Aponim. It bothered him that the Kohanim ate, or Hashem, whatever it was, the bread that was given to Hashem was cold and eaten after 9 days and not fresh bread, fresh matzah. It very much bothered him that it was not fresh. Because number one is, so what do you care? That's what God wants, like that. What do you care? And additionally, why does he fight a Jew against, in addition to cursing Hashem? Like, what's his agenda? What's he trying to accomplish? Okay, so the Hashem got a bad deal. What are you attacking? L'chora, the Mekalel saw the bad arrangements, the bad parts of the arrangements. He was upset that he looked at the Beis HaMikdash and said, God is not getting what God deserves. God deserves better. And if this is what the whole system is about, I'm disinterested in identifying. I'm not interested. This is not what I, signed up to be. If God's at the center, if God's, at the climax of religion, we should all be giving him the best stuff. And I guess the religious message is severalfold. Number one is, it's not your job to tell God what he should want. That's a powerful Ashkafic point. It's not your job to tell God what he should want. Often people like to do that because throughout world history, people love to cut and paste God to make him look like exactly what they want him to look like, because it's much easier to serve a God who identifies with all your values perfectly. And therefore you find in the times of Greek and Roman theology, the gods came down and slept with women and fought and were selfish and greedy. And that's great. You know what I'm saying? Like, why even bother changing your behavior? If your gods are acting that way, that's like perfect for you. And you find it throughout, people taking whatever potential agenda they have and superimposing on the Torah and saying, this is what God must want. Now, obviously, you're supposed to be thinking and looking critically into the world and figuring out what God wants. But there has to be a real sense of genuineness, honesty, sincerity, not just objectively, but to what the Torah wants and what its message are, what its message is. And that requires understanding the Psukim, understanding the Midrashim, understanding the Mefarshim, understanding the Rishonim, understanding the Achronim, understanding how the Gedolei Torah ad hayom hazeh see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's not our job to tell Chazal or the Mesorah or the Psukim what we want there to be instead of what is. It's our job to appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Point number one. Point number two is the Mekalel may have focused in on some of the negativity while missing some of the beauty. Instead of saying, here's a house where Hashem is dwelling amongst Klal Yisrael, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, instead of looking how Klal Yisrael gave beautiful gifts, a poverty-stricken nation mentally, even if they had left Rechush Gadol, they were slaves just earlier on, and it's so easy looking at the post-Holocaust or the Holocaust survivors, how easy it is to be cheap and stingy, and understandably so. Yet the Jews after Mitzrayim gave wonderfully, selflessly, in a very loving and benevolent fashion. Parshas Truma. The fact that they're excited about opening day and the fact that the Kohanim are serving, there's so much excitement and positivity to find when the Mishkan was built. And if a person wants to find negativity and miss the obvious beauty, it certainly is possible. The ayin Tova, the ability to see positivity and see things optimistically is a very important midah. Perhaps one of the more overglanced midos is the midah of optimism. Unless the pessimists sitting in the room say, well, Rav Horn, how can I be an optimist? I'm a realist. And the answer is no. Realists recognize the glass is both half full and half empty. It really is both. Pessimists choose to focus on the half empty part, while optimists choose to focus on the half full part. Neither one of them is wrong. From a physics point of view, from a reality point of view. Optimism and pessimism is not about facts. It's about perspective. And the more one is pessimistic and upset at the system and upset how things go, and I'm not saying don't try to fix them or raise your issues or raise your concerns. And particularly in the generation we grew up in, which is probably the most affluent and materialistic out of all of world history, for Jews and non-Jews alike, the exorbitant amounts of money that exists in the world we come from helps in many areas and also helps spoil us. And the midah of optimism and excitement and looking to build and looking to improve and believing you can build and believing you can improve and finding the good in things is often missed and worthwhile to be reiterated. I'll share with you a story that speaks to me very much, a story that Shlomo Kalbach tells, which I like very much. The story is called Schwarzer Wolf. You can hear it on YouTube. It's a great story. I happen to like it very much. It speaks to me very much. The way the story goes is that there's this man who can't have a child. He's been married for many, many years, and he's unable. His wife is barren. So he goes to the rabbi of Chechnikov, one of the Chassidish rabbis, and he says, bless me to have a son. I want to have a child. And the rabbi of Chechnikov closes his holy eyes, as Shlomo Kalbach would say. And he says, I'm sorry, but the gates of heaven are closed. I can't give you a blessing. I'm sorry, I can't bless you. I can't give you a bracha for children. And the man doesn't want to take no for an answer. He goes, please, and he pushes me. You got to give me something. You got to give me some type of direction. And he says, fine, go ask a brach, the Schwarzer Wolf. He's out of all the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. He's the head of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And the man, the barren man with his barren wife, are shocked. He's very surprised, astonished. How could it be that, that he's the head of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim? He's an obnoxious, gross man. And he has no, he's afraid he's going to knock on the door. He comes before Shabbos, so he doesn't get thrown out. And the Schwarzer Wolf has no choice but to take him. And he doesn't make him, he's not very accommodating. There's no open house, there's no welcome, there's no anything. And the man who needs the bracha is thinking and pondering and toiling and working with a sense of tension. It's like his belly's turning, his stomach is twisted. How am I going to ask for the bracha? He's so obnoxious, what am I supposed to do? And at the end of Shabbos, as it's about, Shabbos is ebbing away, it's about to the last few seconds. He reaches into his heart as deep and profoundly as he ever has. Such an emotional drive. He says, Kadosh Baruch, I need you to help me. And he says, I want this, I want this. And he davens like he's never davened before. And he cries. And he walks into the Schwarzer Wolf. And the Schwarzer Wolf says, I know what you came for, and I bless you to have a son. I have only one request. Please name him Schwarzer Wolf after me. And even though the man is alive, Schwarzer Wolf is alive, he says, fine. He goes back home. Turns out the next morning, the Schwarzer Wolf passes away. No one wants to bury him. No one likes him. I missed the most important point. Sorry. And when he comes in to get the bracha, he says he's never seen a more beautiful man. He's shining like the high priest on Yom Kippur. His children are all little high priests. That's the way Kalbach says it. And he goes, he's so positive. It's such a different perspective. He gets the bracha. He goes home the next morning. No one wants to bury him when the Schwarzer Wolf dies, and he gathers the minion to bury him. And he has a son, and names his son a year later, Schwarzer Wolf. And the way Rav Shlomo Kalbach tells the story is that the story is not done, because the Gera Rebbe, one of the Rebbes in the 1940s, met someone named Schwarzer Wolf, and he goes, are you named after the original Schwarzer Wolf? who's named after the Lamed Vav Tzadik. He goes, yes, you know the story, please tell it to everyone. And in 1940, supposedly, the Schwarzwolf Lamed Vav Tzadik, he died. Then he had there was the barren man who had a son, and that son was named Schwarzwolf, and he had a great grandson named Schwarzwolf as well. Shlomo Carbach says, and the story's not done yet. I was in a concert in Tel Aviv, and I started telling the story of Schwarzwolf, and in the last row, a man screams out and says, that was my grandfather, great grandfather as well. And I'm named after this person who met the Ger Rebbe in 1940, who was named after the baby, who was named after the original Schwarzwolf, Talamud Vav Tzadik. The point of the story is true. I heard this story a lot. I liked it very much. I liked the music behind it. I liked the story behind it. I wasn't sure what it was that I liked. And then I realized, like after hearing it a few times in high school, the point of the story is, you can look at Lamed Vav Tzadikim, and they're mamish like your mirror. If you see something ugly, it's because you're ugly. If you see beauty, it's because you're beautiful. If you look at Rav Nevinson, you see a man who makes you stand up 60 seconds every afternoon, standing when he walks in and it bothers your learning, and nothing more than that tells you something about your eyes. If you look at a man, you see a person who's dedicated his life to toiling over Torah. A person who you can watch him for years on end and never pick up a moral flaw or a sin or insult or word of lashon hara. You will not see him do any of that. You can watch him day in and day out for weeks, for months. He will not utter a word of lashon hara. He will not have one critical thing to say to you or about you or about anyone you know, unless he feels it's like a sock, this person is doing something wrong. It's almost like a perfect person. We don't believe in perfect people. But Rav Nevinson challenges that model. And it's true about the Chachmei HaMesorah and Rabbanim and Torah and Frum people in general. Of course there are flaws. Of course there are mistakes. Of course we have a lot to do and a lot to improve. A lot to improve upon. And you want to know what? If you see the parts that need improvement more, use that to inspire yourself. And Tzvi Yehuda Kohen Kuk used to always say, there are people who complain about darkness and people who shed light. Which one are you? And part of shedding light is realizing that there's light to be shed and there's reason to shed light. You need a bit of optimism. You need a bit of positivity. You need a little bit of dream. And I strongly encourage all of us, while we continue working on our midos in life, to inculcate this into them. No one has to tell you anav is a Jewish value. No one has to tell you davening with kavanah is a virtue. No one has to tell you that we value being kind and sensitive and doing chesed. But sometimes you can get lost telling yourself you're a realist and not an optimist. The real answers are not mutually exclusive. We should be positive. We should try to improve the situation. With our positivity, we should see the good in things. We should see the good in people. We should see the good in Torah and Breslev. One of the most famous statements ever of Nachman is Tismach Tiret Atov. Ki l'chol adam yesh davar nistar t'chapesh t'mtzat atov. There's not a person in the world who doesn't have something positive in there. Because as long as it's some tzel melekim, you got to find positive. Find the positivity. Look for the positivity. Inspire yourself by people's positivity. Don't miss out the beauty of Torah, of life, of this world, and everything there is by crippling oneself towards cynicism, negativity, condescending perspective, by skeptical perspective. Keep on dreaming and enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world along the process. I wish you have a good chance.